he must needs go through Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. Let me read a few verses and then come back and make some comments on them. John chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Now let me comment on that. How did the Lord know the Pharisees, what they thought, what they felt? Well, because He's God. He knows the thoughts and hearts of men. Knows their intentions, their motives. And notice this also, that Jesus made disciples. Disciples must be made before they're baptized.
That's right.
You know, the disciples, men are converted. Disciples first, baptism next. Conversion first, then baptism. And then it says here, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Well, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, and a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Our Lord answered, said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now it says there in verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria. Why? There are several things that the Scripture says our Lord must do. And this is one of the must. What was it that caused him to have to go through Samaria? Well, it was predestined that he go through that. It's foreordained that he go through there. God's purpose.
Amen.
That was known to him and preordained for him before the world ever began. Set this place, this time, for him to be there. You know, if the Scripture says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, I mean, God directs every step we take. Every step we take. We don't take a step without Him. If our steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, just imagine what our Savior's steps were. Huh? And you see, it was sovereign grace that constrained him. He had been foreordained. There's one of his sheep that he must go get. There's one of his sheep that he must find. There's one of his sheep that he must make himself known to. So it was foreordained that he go through Samaria. God's eternal decree said he must. And he must. And I read it to you there in Psalm 40. Lo, I come. Lo, it's written in the volume of the book. I come to do thy will, yea, Lord, I delight to do thy will. Now, Jacob's well was there. It says in verse 6, Jacob's well was there. Is Jacob's well because Jacob was the one who had it dug, and he's the one whose name was after it? And then watch what it says. Jesus, therefore, being wearied. Now, here's the one who declares all of his counsel before the world began. Here's the Savior of the world. Here's God Almighty manifest in human flesh, but this shows His humanity. Being wearied. How can He who upholds the world by the word of His power, how can He who made the world by speaking, by fiat, how can He get weary? Well, He's so identified with us.
Yeah.
And so became a man that all the infirmities of a man was with Him, sin excepted. He got tired. And it's being tired, he sat down. He sat down. He rested. And he sat on the well. And I tell you this, that the Lord Jesus was there before this woman came. And you know why he's there before this woman came? Well, Isaiah 65:1 says, I was found of them that sought not after me. I was known unto them who knew not me. Now here's somebody that's not seeking the Lord, but she's going to seek Him.
Yes, sir.
I was found of them that sought me not. She's not seeking Him, but she's going to find Him. Grace goes before grace. The old timers called it prevenient grace. Grace that goes before grace. And this is prevenient grace. And our Lord Jesus was there before the woman. You see, beloved, His salvation is not only undeserved to those to whom He gives it, but it always, always comes unsought until He seeks us first. Paul said he wanted to be apprehended why he was apprehended of Christ.
Yeah.
And that word apprehend means to lay hold of. I want to lay hold of why Christ laid hold of me. And that's what he says, Christ laid hold of me. That's what it means. Apprehend means to lay hold of. And oh my, he apprehends us. No, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. There's none that seeketh after God. No, not one. And this woman here that we're fixing to talk about a little while is a beautiful illustration of one who was found of him that sought him not. One of them fought. You know, and how all the way through the scriptures, this is true. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was no different than anybody else. What made him different? God gave him grace.
That's right.
Abraham was a heathen. Idolater, dwelt in Mesopotamia, but when the God of glory appeared unto him and told him to go out, out he went. He wasn't looking for the Lord, but the Lord found him. And thou worm Jacob, trying to bargain with God, laying there scared to death one night all alone, and a man came and laid hold on him and changed his name, changed his walk, changed his relationship, everything about it. Moses was on the backside of the desert, back there tending sheep. And while he was there tending sheep, there's a burning bush. A bush started to come on fire. And the bush wasn't consumed. And a voice came out of that bush and began to speak to him. He wasn't seeking glory, he was tending sheep. Tending sheep. And then there's Zacchaeus up a tree. He wasn't seeking the Lord, just wanted to see Jesus, who he was. I said, he just wanted to see. He'd heard a lot about him. He wanted to see him, see what he looked like, see what. He's walking by. Our Lord stopped dead exactly where Zacchaeus was. Called him by name. He wasn't seeking the Lord. He was found of him who sought him not. Huh? And our Lord said, today I must. That's one of them must. I must abide at thy house today. I must. And then there's Saul of Tarsus. He was on his way to persecute and kill believers. Put them in jail. Men, women, children. Made no difference to him. And while he was on his way to do that, not seeking the Lord, he was found of him who sought him not. God smote him down. You see, our fallen natures, we love him because he first loved us. Oh Lord, if you had not chosen me, what did I him say? I would have never chosen thee. Our fallen natures are so against God, he said that no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. And look what it says here. Now, she ain't going to come to Christ until Christ first comes to her. And then it says that he was the well-being there, and it was about the sixth hour there in verse 6. He sat thus on the well, being wearied with his journey. Long way across there. Left Judea. Departed going to Galilee, and he's going down through Samaria to get there. And it was about the sixth hour. That's high noon. That's the middle of the day. High noon. And while it was about the sixth hour, midday, hot, thirsty, wanting a drink of water. There cometh a woman. There cometh a woman. You reckon this was just an accident? This was just a lucky chance? Just a chance that she showed up there at the same time he was there? Just an accident that they met one another? If a soul winner had been there, wonder what he'd have done with her. She came at noon. You know why she came at noon? It's because she expected to be there by herself. She expected nobody else to be there. See, the real reason, though, that we know The real reason she was there, because it was God's hour. It was God's time. It was time for the Lord to find one of His lost sheep. You see, our least movements are directed, ordered, overruled by God's providence. You see, let me ask you a couple of questions. When Joseph's brethren was fixing to kill him and throw him in that pit, why do you reckon those Midianites were passing by at that time? They said, well, let's don't kill him, let's sell him. We're not going to get rid of him, we'll make some money at the same time. Why do you reckon they'd rather pass by at that same time? Huh? Oh, my. Why did Pharaoh's daughter find Moses in that ark and not some other woman? Why did Pharaoh's daughter go and get Moses' mother to be his nurse and didn't even know that he was Moses' mother? All things work together for good to them who love God. To them who are called according to His purpose. From the day they're born till the day He takes them all the way to glory. And then it says here that there cometh a woman. Don't tell us her name. Over in John chapter 3, it told about Nicodemus. He came to Christ by night. Our Lord came to this. He came to Christ. Our Lord comes to this woman at high noon. He came at night to protect His reputation. He came to her to make Himself of no reputation. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a master of Israel. He was somebody. Our Lord came to this woman who was an adulteress, who was nobody. Oh, what a difference. Huh? She came to draw water. She had no thought of doing anything else but to go get her some water to wash with, to cook with, to clean with. And you know why she came at this hour? Because of her character. Her character. She had a bad character. She had a bad name. She wouldn't be welcome when the other ladies came to draw their water. They'd generally come early in the morning or late in the evening. But her character, she came out in the middle of the day because she wouldn't have been welcome. She would have been ostracized. She had no expectation of meeting him or anyone else. She had no idea that this day was the day of her salvation. It was the last thing she expected. She went to draw water, just to get some water. And she knew that no one would be at the well. But when she got there, you can imagine she was surprised, but there was one waiting for her. Oh, yes. It was really somebody. It was somebody that was waiting for her. And oh my, when she got there, he was sitting on the well. And he was there to fulfill his purpose of grace towards her, his salvation towards her, to make her election known, to make her calling and election sure,
amen,
to make the peace of God known to her. And not only that, but he's going to make her own what she is before he ever. Grace is going to make you know what you are before he ever brings you to the end of yourself. And then look what our Lord, she no sooner gets there. She gets there and she got her water pot. I don't know how big it was. You know, they carried them on their head or on their shoulder. I don't know how they even. But I tell you this, there she was. And he was sitting on that well. She come to draw water, and the first thing she meets, somebody sitting at the well. She has no idea who she is, who he is. And our Lord said unto her, give me something to drink. Give me to drink. Give me to drink. Oh, now Lord Jesus Christ, this shows you how he humbled himself, how he made himself of no reputation. He comes to a fallen woman, an adulterous woman, a sinful woman, and condescends to speak to her first, and willing to take a drink of water from her. And he said, give me to drink. Give me to drink. You see, our Lord got her alone. It was just him and her. And the reason he did, to show her herself.
Yes.
And it's only in light of him being there that she's going to see herself. If Christ hadn't come there, she'd have never known anything about herself. You don't learn your sin, then you go to Christ. It's when Christ comes to you and starts making himself known to you and revealing himself to you and demanding things from you that you realize what you are.
Amen. Amen.
You'll never know that you're a sinner until you see yourself in the light of Christ. You'll never know. That's why David said, and he's speaking of our Lord, he said, I have not hid thy righteousness in my heart. I've declared thy righteousness among the great congregation. I talked about your righteousness. I talked about your love, your faithfulness, your kindness, your truth. And oh my, I'm telling you, when men are preacher-made sinners, they last anywhere from 3 months to 6 months, maybe even a year. But when God makes a man a sinner, when Christ reveals himself to somebody to show them their impotence and their nothingness and their sinfulness, when he does that, you'll be a sinner from the rest of your days until you go to be with him.
Amen.
And that, the older you get, the longer you live, the worse sinner you become. The more you see how weak you are, the more you understand how impotent you are, the more you feel your need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll do like David says, they that know the salvation of the Lord, they say, let the Lord be magnified. Huh? And oh, our Lord God are alone. It's just him and her. And the first thing he did, he took the initiative. He took the initiative. He spoke first. He spoke first. And he asked her for a drink of cold water. Give me a drink of water. Now that's the cheapest gift. The cheapest gift this world contains.
Yes.
The cheapest gift. If you come to my house, turn on the faucet, you're going to get a drink of water. It does. Huh? And it won't cost you nothing. Cheapest drink, the cheapest gift this world contains. Oh, how he humbled himself asking a Samaritan. And then he said, give me the drink. And this is grace starting. Here's grace starting its work. He did not tell her, you must, you need to, you ought to, you should. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Why? Because he came. Wanted to know what he could do. Wanted to show how smart he was. He came to Christ in the middle of the night. You can't change your nature. I don't care how high you go, our Lord tells Nicodemus. You're a master of Israel, and you don't absolutely know nothing. If I told you of earthly things about births, and you don't understand them, how in the world will you understand something that talks about coming from heaven?
Amen.
Spiritual things. And here's grace starting. He didn't tell her what she needed to do, must do, ought to do. Didn't tell her to come to the front. Didn't tell her to pray. Didn't tell her to raise her hand. Didn't tell her to close her eyes. Didn't tell her how much she had to cry. Didn't tell her how much she had to repent. Didn't tell her what agony of soul she had to go through. He just said, give me the drink. And the first word she's confronted with is the word give. No price. No work. He directs her thoughts to grace, to give, the gift. Everything's got to be a gift. Give me. And then he says, give me the drink. How could she, a sinner, a poor, despised, miserable, wretched, blind, awful, despicable sinner, give anything to him? Huh? She couldn't. She couldn't give him anything. She had to receive before she could give. You see, he makes demands upon her she is unable to meet.
Amen.
He's bringing her to see her helplessness, her inability. As long as you got any ability, any goodness about you, any worth about you, you're not even close to being a salvation. Not even spitting distance of it. Folks, you know, it's not men's badness that keeps them from Christ. It's not men's sins that keep them from Christ. It's men's goodness. It's men's merit. It's men's word. It's men's high thoughts of themselves. And when you think high of yourself, you've got to think low of Christ. When you think well of yourself, you can't think well of Christ. When you don't have any sin, you don't need a Savior.
Amen.
Now, ain't that right? And oh, he said, give me the drink. He makes demands. And that's two reasons why God demands what we can't perform. He demands that we be righteous, and we don't have that. And it's got to be a righteousness equal to God's. It's got to be as righteous as God Himself. Why? Because He can't accept anything less. He is holy. He's righteous. And He shows us, gives us demands for what we can't perform to show us our impotency. We're impotent. We have no power. We're unable. And secondly, He shows us our impotency to cause us to seek His, Him to give us the strength and the grace to do what He demands. He demands holiness. Where are we going to get that at? You ain't going to get it in a holiness church. I don't care what they got over the door. You're not going to get it when they speak in tongues. You're not going to get holiness here. I can't give it to you. You ain't got it. The church ain't going to give it to you. The Pope ain't going to give it to you. The preacher ain't going to give it to you. The baptism ain't going to give it to you. Drinking wine and eating wafers ain't going to give it to you. There ain't the one place you can get righteousness. And He sits at the right hand of God. And He'll give it to you, or you'll do it without Him.
Amen.
And He's going to bring you to where you want it above everything else. God won't accept anything other than what His Son did. His Son obeyed God. And we need His obedience put to our account. His Son fulfilled righteousness. We need His righteousness fulfilled toward us. His Son satisfied God. We need Him who satisfied God. We got to come just like this woman in the middle of the day because we ain't got no character. And oh my soul, we need Christ sitting on the well, and we need Him desperately to speak to us. You see, the law was given not to cause us to seek to be saved by it. The law was given us to show our powerlessness, our inability. By the law, by doing, by working, by obeying commands, there's no flesh going to be justified in His sight. By the law is the knowledge of sin.
Yeah.
Look at that law. Look, God, not just a little, not just on Sunday morning, not on Sunday evening. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. You don't do that, the law says you're condemned and you're cursed. And then it says this, love thy neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Love thy neighbor just like you love yourself.
Yeah.
Now, whenever you would do that, and do it from the day you're born to the day you die, God will have no trouble saying, come on in. Come on. Come on. You can be with me. You can fellowship with me. You can commune with me. But if you can't do that, and you haven't done that, then you're under the curse and condemnation of God's law.
Amen.
Ain't that right? And oh my, the law was given to show us our powerlessness, to cause us to cast ourselves upon God, to cast ourselves upon His omnipotence, to cast ourselves upon Christ, throw ourselves on Him. And this is the first lesson. We got to realize we ain't got anything to give. In my hands, no price I'll bring, simply to Christ on His cross. Then look what it says here in verse 8. For his disciples were going away in the city to buy meat. Why are they going away? Just him and her. They got to be alone. You know, I preached a message up at Bruce's a few weeks ago up in Newcastle on Jacob was left alone. Jacob was left alone. And it's when a man's alone, that's when God lays hold of him. His disciples, God's providence had them gone. Can you imagine them being there? First thing they said, Lord, what in the world are you having anything to do with this Samaritan? Because that's what that woman says. You're a Jew. Why in the world are you having anything to do with me? Oh, Christ and this soul must be alone. You see, he was alone with Nicodemus. And that woman taken in adultery, there was a great big crowd all around them. And when our Lord began to deal with them, they all went away, all went away, all went away. And the scripture says, him and the woman was left alone. And that blind man who he opened his eyes in John chapter 9 when he was cast out and they asked to castigate him and put him out. He was alone. And when he was alone, that's when Christ came to him. Oh my, alone with God is where sinners need to be. Don't need no priest. Don't need no rabbi. Don't need no preacher. Don't need no soul winner. Don't need no altars. You need to be alone with God in Christ. That's where you need to be. Alone with God. And they went to buy meat. And that tells me this, that these disciples of our Lord didn't beg, didn't have no bake sales, try to raise money for the church. No. They didn't go into town and say, we're from the church down here. Wonder if you got anything you won't give to the cause of Christ. You got any food you won't give? You know, we're from the first church of the synagogue of the 13th something another. You got anything you want to give? No, they had money. Christ's people don't beg. God's church don't beg. If the Lord's people don't take care of it, it'll just fold up. Ain't that right? And oh my. Well, then sent the woman. Watch what happens. Now this woman, she's going to talk now. Our Lord just only said, give me to drink. Four words. It's also, give me to drink. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. They don't. This surprised this woman. You see, it was a sin. To the Jews, it was a sin to have any dealings with Samaritans. Look over here in John chapter 8 with me just a minute. You know, Samaritans, they were, John 8:47, they built them a temple up there, and they brought in false gods and heathen gods and mixed them up with the so-called one God of Israel. And they had temples and they had idol worship. And they were a mixed race, part Jew, part everything else. And they just did not have anything to do with Samaritans. They'd go way out of their way to keep from going to Samaria. And look here in John 8:47. Now our Lord speaking to the Pharisees, he that is of God heareth God's word. That's one way you can tell whether you're one of God's or not. Do you hear his, that word hear means do you understand it? Do you believe it? Do you receive it? And if you say in your heart, yes, I hear it. I understand it. I believe it. I find comfort in it. I find strength in it. I find it to be my food. He that heareth, he that is of God, heareth God's word. You, therefore, hear them not. Watch this. Because you're not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan? That's about as low as you can get. The only thing lower you can get, and that's to be a dog. And not only that, but you've got a devil. They equated being a Samaritan with being a devil. One and the same. And that's why that woman was just so surprised. So sometimes Jews don't have any dealings with Samaritans. And look what she says. She said, how is it that thou being a Jew? Sinners always wonder how. How can it be? How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Huh? Nicodemus said, when our Lord told him you must be born again, the first thing he said is, how? Huh? When the angel came and told Mary, you're going to have a child. She said, how? Seeing I've never known a man. Oh my. And that's what Christ does. He comes and he brings you to say, how can he be just and save me? How can he save a sinner like me and save God? How can he come and make me righteous and save me and put away my sin at the same time? How can he have anything to do with me? With me like Simon, depart from me, O Lord. I'm a sinful man. Huh? He come to reveal himself as the truth. And came to reveal himself as grace. Grace and truth manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. Truth to break down the middle. Truth to break down those false conceptions. Truth to break down those self-righteousness. Truth to break down those opinions. Truth to break down those traditions. And grace to meet the heart's needs. And how many times are we full of hows? Hows. How? It may be a religious how. How could God let this come on me? How could God deal with me like this? How could I be so lost? How could I have been in church so long and still never know the Lord? It may be a rational how. Why does God let this man reign? Why does God let that man reign? Why does God let that sin happen? Why does God let that bomb land here, there, and the other? We reason oftentimes instead of believing, say, it's the Lord. Let him do what seems good in his sight. And then she says, thou being a Jew. All she saw was a Jew. That's all most Jews saw, was a Jew. She saw nothing in him. She did not see him as the Messiah. She did not see him as the Savior. She did not see him as the gift of God. She did not see him as the Savior. He was like Paul. Paul said, I once knew Christ after the flesh. I only knew him as Jesus of Nazareth. I only knew him as the son of Joseph and the son of Mary. That's the only way I knew him. Yeah. I didn't know him as Lord. I didn't know him as Savior. I didn't know him as God. I didn't know him as Redeemer. I did not know him. And that's what he says here. She says, you're a Jew. And all he was a root out of dry ground. There was no form or comeliness about him that we should desire. No beauty about him. Nah. She could only think in terms of prejudice, of walls built up.
Amen. Nah.
You, a Jew? Me, a woman of Samaria? Samaria? Now, watch what he says now. Jews have no dealings with us. Verse 10, Jesus our Lord said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me the drink, everything would have been turned upside down. You would have said, you give me something to drink. You give me the drink. You give me living water. You just want, I ask for wet water. If you don't know who it is, you'd ask for living water. Huh? Oh, my. He answered Nicodemus how? By pointing to himself. He says, Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up that brazen serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's how men are going to get saved. That's how men are going to have the new birth. That's how God's going to save sinners, by me being lifted up. That's how he pointed to himself as the brazen serpent. Now here he answers this woman, telling her that he's the gift of God. He's the gift of God. Huh? He didn't argue with her. He didn't. You know, most of us would have said, well, I know, but for peace sake, let's don't be Jews and Samaritans today. Let's don't be Baptists and Pentecostals today. Let's don't be Catholics and something else today. That's what everybody talks about. Let's all celebrate our diversity. Well, I'm thankful. I am thankful I am thankful that our Lord Jesus Christ came and said, if you knew the gift of God. He didn't answer her and argue with her about her prejudice about the Jews in Samaria. He didn't reproach her for her ignorance or her stupidity because he didn't know who he was, what he was doing there. She didn't have any idea yet. There's some sitting here today, and you'll be here next week, and you was here last week, and you still don't know who Christ is. You have no idea what he came to do. You have no idea that he's the living one, that he's the gift of God, that he was that brazen serpent lifted up. Huh? But he ain't reproaching you for it. He's not mad at you for it. He's not angry at you for it. He's not reproaching you, not arguing with you. He's just confronting you with the truth. I'm the gift of God. You can't earn me. You don't deserve me. You don't merit me. If you knew the gift of God, yeah. You know what the first thing you'd do? You'd ask. If you knew the gift of God, and what's not only this, but who? The gift of God is a who?
Yeah.
Who? Who? This is the trouble. Men don't know their need, and they certainly don't know who can meet it. Who can meet it? He's the gift of God. And to her and to most people, grace, the gift of God, grace is an unknown tongue. It's an unknown tongue to them. They cannot conceive of it. They cannot think of it. You talk to people about grace, everything being of the Lord, the first thing they'll say, yeah, I believe that, but I don't know how many times I said, well, you deal with grace, I'll deal with man's responsibility. Now, man won't know anything about responsibility apart from grace. Really?
No.
Oh, no. No, he won't know anything about it. See, salvation is a gift. It's a gift. God gives, we take.
Amen.
When Abraham and Isaac went up that mountain, Isaac said to his father, said, Father, we got the wood, we got the fire, we got the knife. But where's that lamb? We're going up here to sacrifice. You told them fellas we're going to go sacrifice, we're going to go worship the Lord, we're going to come back again. Well, where's that lamb we're going to worship God with? We're going to sacrifice. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he did. And that's what it is, beloved. God gives. He provides, we take. Eternal life is a gift. Living is a gift. Salvation is a gift. And then look what he says. Not only is it a gift, but if you know who it is. See, this gift is a person. This gift is a person. It's Christ. It's the Son of God. It's the Lord of glory. And she didn't know. She didn't know who it was. She didn't know the gift of God. If you knew, I do know this, that if you ever know who it is, who this gift of God is, who this salvation is, who this is that gives the living water, if you knew, you know what you'd do? You'd say, oh Lord, give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Huh? Much, much must be done in a sinner's heart. Before they ask. Now notice it says who it is. It don't say what it is. You need to know what it is. He said, if you knew the gift of God, and I'll deal with some more of this next week, God willing. He said, you would have asked and he would have given thee living water. Living water. Oh my, look at that water. That coal on the side of it. All those little drops. And I'm thirsty. Man, that's good. I wish you had a drink of it. Our Lord said, if you ask me, That water there is nothing compared to what I'll give you. You think that refreshes you? That'll just refresh your body. I'll refresh your soul.
Amen.
That water there will bathe your body. The water I give will bathe your soul. And oh my, water is a gift from God. One thing man can't do, he cannot create water. He can't do it because it comes from God. And water is indispensable to man. It's indispensable. You've got to have it. It isn't a luxury. It's a vital necessity. Huh? And I'll tell you something else about water. It meets a universal need. Everybody's got to have it. Everyone, everywhere needs it. And thank God it's that way. Salvation isn't for a particular class of people.
That's right.
It's for everyone that needs, wants, desires. And oh, listen, water comes down from the heavens. It's not a product of this earth. Water comes down from up there. You let God cut off the rain, all our creeks down home are dry right now. You let him connect them, they'll tell how many ponds are dry. God cut off the water, and you know what? You'd be in trouble.
Yes, sir.
Water comes down from heaven. It's a product of earth. And that's not a product of earth. And that's the way salvation is. It comes down from heaven. And water, oh, what a blessed thing water is. It cools us when we're hot. It satisfies our thirst when we're thirsty. It refreshes us when we're weak. It cleanses our body. And Christ does all of those things within us.
Yes, sir.
Oh, it satisfies our thirst. He refreshes our soul. He cleanses our hearts and minds. And I'll tell you something else. Water is something we never, ever get tired of. You ever get tired of water? Most folks nowadays walk around with a bottle with them all the time. It's something you never get tired of. You got to have it. You just never get tired of water. And oh, this is something. Water is strangely and unevenly distributed by God. Some places there's an abundance of it. Oh, they got lots and lots and lots and lots of water. Some places there's less water. And then there are some places where there's none at all. None at all. And that's the way it is with salvation in Christ. Some places there's an abundance of it. America's one of those places where there's an abundance. And then there's places where there's less. And then there's some places where Christ is not at all. And that's why it says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, you would have said, give me the living water. Give me Christ. Do that. In your heart of hearts right now, you say, Lord, I'm thirsty. Oh, I'm thirsty. Our Lord said, if any man's thirsty, let him come unto me. And I'll give him a drink. And he'll never thirst again. Ain't that what our Savior said? And what he means by that is that you'll never look for salvation anyplace else. You'll be satisfied with what Christ did. You'll be satisfied with who he is. God help you in your heart of hearts. You get along with the Lord like this one. You get along with Christ. And say, Lord, give me that living water. That living water. Our blessed, blessed Savior, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for meeting with us today. Oh Lord, we do want you, the living water. We need you. We desire you. Cause the water to flow here abundantly. We thank you that water comes out of that rock, out of rock, our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless this gospel today to the hearts of those who hear, to you, dear saints. May it be a message, comforting, strengthening, refreshing, as water is, to our hearts and souls. Oh, Lord Jesus, save your people in this place. And bless your preachers and save your sheep where they're preaching. We ask in Christ's holy name. Amen.